don't let you see. What if he don't? It's okay with me because I want God to save them. So that they won't be the enemy to somebody else. Come on and say amen. Here's another reason why I want God to save them. It's because I want God to save them so that their children won't give my children problems. I want God to save them so their grandchildren won't give my grandchildren problems. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So God, please save that enemy. Please save that liar so their children won't be liars. Please save that thief so their children won't be thieves. I wish I had somebody. You got to think further down the line. You still thinking it's all just about you? No, that enemy is going to come after your children and your children's children. So you might as well get this right now. You might as well overcome it now. You might as well overcome the enemy now.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm talking some other language to you. We're going to be persecuted.
Yes, sir.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Yes.
This is verse 37. Let's see. Let's try to get out of here. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right? He says, nay. When we look at that word, nay. Now, I didn't look at this word before. It simply means no. But if you look deeply, it also means an objection or a restriction. Right? Listen, Paul is saying that this stuff may have happened, but God will restrict it. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And that means he gives restrictions on them. You know, in God's policy, in his guarantee, there are restrictions to what the enemy can do to you.
Yeah,
the enemy can come in, but the Spirit of God will lift up.
Yeah.
He said that the weapons may form up,
but
they can't prosper. But this is the policy of God. He said not only is it to restrict, but it also means to object.
Yeah.
Meaning like when the lawyer is in the courtroom, and in the midst of the trial, he stands up and objects.
Yeah.
Right?
In your trial, how many times have God stood up? And said, I object. Come on. How many times have the devil said, it's time for you to go? But God stood up and said, I'm so glad that my grandma said that I have a lawyer that's never lost because he objects for me. Oh, Lord have mercy. I can't preach it like I feel it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to talk for just a little while. Things that really matter in the kingdom. Things that really matter in the kingdom. Again, we're dealing with a study on God first. In that 33rd verse, God, through Jesus Christ, tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He's talking, Jesus is talking to the believers. He's talking to those who would become members of the kingdom of God, which we now are, all who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, this is the famed Sermon on the Mount. This sermon started in Matthew chapter 5 and continues on to chapter 7. All three chapters, word for word, are all, if you had a red letter edition, you'll note that every word in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter was spoken by Jesus. It is at this point in time that he is bringing the people of God to a new understanding, a new revelation of God's word. He goes back in that 5th chapter and brings up Old Testament scripture, telling them about the things that Moses said in the Old Testament. Keeping in mind, Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So once he had fulfilled the law, guess what? He was able to change it. You see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus shared with us an important principle. You must be a part of something before you can really have an impact on the change of something. The person who knows how to operate, and this is one of the things that the enemy knows. He knows that to cause a change, he has to be in a place where he can create a change. That's why we've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, if he gets in our hearts, if he gets in our minds, if he gets in our mouth, if he gets in our eyes, if he gets in our ears, he can work from the inside to cause a change that will be affected on the outside. Jesus knew he had to come into the world, be born of flesh, born of a woman, take on the nature of humankind so as to be able to affect humankind. He came down in flesh, born of flesh, so that he could show flesh how to be changed. He didn't do it through an angel. He didn't do it through simply his word. He did it by example. He demonstrated what he wants us to duplicate. Now look at this 6th chapter, because I want you to see some things here. From verses 1 through 4, he talks about almsgiving. Almsgiving. What is almsgiving? It means offering and or support giving, especially to those who are less fortunate. Almsgiving. He starts off this 6th chapter, speaks 4 verses on almsgiving. Then in verse 5, he moves on from almsgiving to prayer and the proper way to pray. From verses 5 all the way through verse 15, which includes having your prayers answered if you learn how to forgive your brother. It's amazing how the Lord tied in the fact that God won't forgive me unless I forgive you. And I'm so sure that I've sinned more against God than you've ever sinned against me. And God says, if I want him to forgive me for all of the sins I've committed against him, and I'm going to throw this out parenthetically, every sin you sin is against God. That's why David said in Psalm 51:4, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. See, every sin you do is in the sight of God and against God. And so we must be mindful that God is watching us. So from verses 5 through verses 15, he's teaching us how to pray, and connects with that, you must forgive your brethren if you want God to forgive you. And then 16, 17, and 18, he talks about fasting. Fasting and how to properly fast. And that's so important for those of us who would desire to fast. And that is important to your spiritual nurturing, your spiritual cleansing. Fasting is important. Jesus is talking about these three things. But from verses 19 to verses 24 through verse 24, he talks about some other things that I think is important for us since we're talking about treasure. He makes clear that we should not store up our treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves can destroy our treasures, but rather to store them in heaven where moth and rust and thieves cannot destroy. The illustration here is the temporal versus the eternity, the eternal. Here's what I need you to understand. This message is not Jesus Christ having an issue against material blessings or material treasures. Not at all. His issue is not with the accumulation of treasures, but the appropriation of treasures. Let me say this again. His problem is not with your accumulation of treasures, but to make it simple, how you spend your treasures is what he's more concerned with. And what he wants us to know is God sends a blessing to the one he can send a blessing through. If you really want to be blessed, show God you know how to pass it on. Show God you know that what he has given to you was not just for you, but that through you, he could use you to be a blessing to others, especially those who are of little resources. Now, if Jesus started off talking about that, that was important to him. But now he goes on and he's dealing with in these verses here. In verse 19, 20, and 21, he's dealing with wealth. Somebody say wealth. In 22 and 23, he's dealing with wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. But in verse 24, he's dealing with worship. 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 Now, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, let's look at the heart as a treasure chest, because this is the similarity. The heart is a treasure chest. What is the word treasure? What does it mean? It means a thing that is valued, a thing that is precious, and a thing that is important to you. That's your treasure. Treasure doesn't necessarily mean money only. Treasure means anything that is precious, valuable, and important to you, especially when it is in your heart. What are the things you treasure? Because the truth of the matter is, this principle is so pure and so true that you can't fool God. Wherever your treasure is, that's really where your heart is. You can say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. You can say, bread of heaven, feed me till I want. Thou art strong, I am weak. You can tell him all that good stuff. But if you're not showing him that you treasure him and what he has done for you, and if you're not showing him, like David said, that the most important thing in David's life was not his gold, not his silver, not all of his possessions, not his ability to conquer men and other nations, but his greatest possession was his relationship with God and God's word in his heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, or treasure. Treasure chest. And my brothers and sisters, what God wants you to know is, don't think you can fool him. Because he can see right in your treasure chest. And he can see what it is that you have placed before him. Let me let you in on another truth. Whatever you put before him,
all right, sir,
becomes your God.
Yes,
you can't say God first and put somebody else before him. You can't say God first and put something else before him. You can't say God first and don't honor him in the first place position in your life. And my brothers and sisters, some of you might say, well, how can I show him he's first in my life? And that's what we're talking about, God first. We're telling you, you show God he's first when you get up in the morning. Time. And he is the first one that's on your mind. Have a little talk with God. Thank him for last night's rest. Thank him for watching over you and protecting you. Thank him for keeping you through the night. Don't you know that was some folk who went to bed last night, didn't get up this morning? But your name was not listed in that group. Apostle said he woke us up with a reasonable portion of health and strength. Listen, that there are so many things when you wake up and put him first, you can tell him time is important to God. It's eternal for him, but it's temporary for you. So that means when you prioritize your time and put God first, then God will handle the rest. Secondly, do you use your talents, your gifts first for God. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of the things you need to know, that we are made of dust and divinity. God has given us the ability to operate both in the spiritual realm and in the worldly, secular realm. What God wants us to know is that because we are citizens of two worlds and residents of one world, that we must learn to have a balance in both worlds. Which means that our talents and our gifts are not just for one world only. Everything God has gifted you to do in this natural realm, he has given that gift to you to operate in the kingdom of God. Listen, the word is clear that God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. What you do, what your gifts are, what your abilities are, that you get paid for and are blessed to do. Listen, God don't want you to use all of those gifts in the world and not bless the kingdom. How much better would our church be and function if we would use the gifts and talents that we use in the world in his kingdom? Now, his kingdom reaches far beyond just the church. Don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about just the church, because there are some things you do in the world aren't appropriate in the church, although they are good and they are gifts, but they are appropriate in the kingdom. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And so when you begin to use what God has given to you in the kingdom, whether the church, it's in the kingdom, but the kingdom far exceeds the church. It is for God's glory and mankind's good. You have got to use what God has given you for his glory. And not just for what makes you happy. And then when we get to the third part here, the treasure, he's already told you. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is a treasure. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Why is not God doing that for us? Because we are not doing what he's commanded us. God is not a man that he should lie. He will back up his word every time. Listen, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For some of you, your treasure is your home, your car, your wife, your husband, your children, your job, your possessions. Listen, God doesn't have a problem with you having those things. But he wants you to know that more than all of those things, he wants you to have him first in your heart. And Jesus said it, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things did Jesus say would be added to you? I'm going to make it in simple, plain language. They're all in these verses in this sixth chapter. He tells us that he will add food to us, that he will add fitness to us, that he will add fashion to us, that he will add finances to us, that he'll add a future for us. All of the things that the Gentiles seek after, if you put God first, he will add all of those things. You're working two and three jobs, breaking your back, losing your rest, working on making a living instead of living on what you make. You are missing the blessings of God because we are robbing him with the treasures of the time he has given us, the talents he's given us, the treasures he's given us, and yes, the temple, which is our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You wonder why God is not blessing you the way you desire to be blessed. The question becomes, are you putting God first?
All right, then, Doctor.
What's lacking in your life? What's missing in your life? God has the answer for it in his word. Do you seek him? Do you cast your cares upon him? Do you obey him? And when you do those things, God will prosper your life. God wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be blessed. Look at the prophets and the people of God in the Old Testament. How blessed they were. And I'm not just talking spiritually. I'm talking materially, monetarily. Silver, gold, possessions, houses, land, oxen, sheep, goat, all sorts of wonderful things that mankind needs in this earth realm. God knows we need money. Money is an exchange for service and goods. But money should never, ever be our God. Money is good for nothing but to be spent. You don't believe it? All that money you got saved, give it to me. I'm going to put it to good use. I'm going to bless folk in the kingdom. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to share. I'm going to give. I'm going to feed. I'm going to clothe. Y'all not hearing me. I'm going to use the money for the purpose of God's glory and edifying the people of God and spreading his word. I'm not going to have billions and millions of dollars in the bank just getting interest and doing nothing for God. Because here's what I've learned. The more I give to him, not the more I save, but the more I give to him, the more he gives to me. God's economy is totally different from man's economy. And so God is not against wealth. He wants us to prosper. What did he say? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. He wants us to prosper. Wealth, God wants us to have. John 3, verse 2, speaking to the beloved Gaius, said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God wants you to have. Tell your neighbor, he don't want you to be broke. You may be broke as a joke, but that ain't on God. God wants you to be blessed. Why? So you can be a blessing. Let me say that again. God wants you to be blessed so that you can be. Lord, please put bread on that table. And you got more bread than you can eat and won't share. God, do this for them. You see them naked. You got clothes in your closet you can't even wear. Your closet is falling down.